This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, July 17th, 2013. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. KUAF is supported by Archon Printing, located on the hillside just east of the Township and College intersection in Fayetteville. Archon Printing provides printing, copying, and digital output services. ArchonPrinting.com or 444-7711.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas sits down with 4th District Congressman Tom Cotton to discuss food stamps, the Farm Bill, and the 2014 election. Plus, the Mission Clinic of Berryville celebrates its 20th anniversary.
Also, a preview of this week's Around the Block program in downtown Bentonville, a jazz performance inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, and what it's like to have a pet skunk, and more. But first, the 100th case of rabies for 2013 has been confirmed in Boone County by the Arkansas Department of Health. Ed Barham, who works in the department's Office of Health Communications, says while infected cats, dogs, and bats have been found so far this year, skunks are the animal most commonly found to be infected in Arkansas.
They appear in the daytime, which is very unusual for a skunk, which is a nocturnal animal, and they look like they're drunk or something. They're weaving and wobbling and falling down. They're disoriented. They're usually very aggressive, and they'll chase after dogs or cars or anything else. They're behaving really unusually. When you see that kind of behavior, then you can suspect that what you've got is a rabid animal.
Barham says if you suspect an animal is rabid, you should contact animal control or an environmental health officer so the animal can be put down properly and the head sent to the public health lab in Little Rock to be tested for the rabies virus. In addition, Barham says pet owners should make certain their animals are up to date on their rabies vaccination.
State law requires that you have dogs and cats vaccinated every 3 years by a licensed veterinarian. That's a change in the law. It's about 2 years old now, but it used to be that you could do it every year and that you didn't have to have a licensed vet to do it. But that's changed, and that is the law now. So people need to know how serious and dangerous rabies is.
Rabies is fatal if left untreated. Barham says in the case of the rabid cat in Boone County, the pet did not exhibit signs of infection until hours before it died, which is unusual, as most animals tend to show aggressive behavior days before the virus runs its course. Barham says also the most common way rabies is transmitted to humans is through bites or scratches by bats.
The Fayetteville City Council met last night, and while most of the business considered was standard fare, the final item on the agenda spurred spirited debate. Alderwoman Sarah Marsh presented a resolution that states the city's support of a national revenue-neutral carbon tax, where manufacturers who use fossil fuels would be required to pay a carbon tax on their fuel usage. The resolution was written in such a way that it was meant to encourage members of the U.S. Congress to implement such legislation, as well as other programs to help slow climate change. Alderwoman Marsh says the resolution is a way of recognizing that Fayetteville does not exist in a bubble.
Our citizens are not immune from the projected increase in temperatures, extreme weather events, disruptions to agriculture or our food supply, or harmful health effects. And it's municipalities like the city of Fayetteville that are going to be on the front lines of combating the effects of global climate change. Let's take, for instance, the projected increase in severe weather events. When we have more ice storms like we did in 2009, who's going to clean up that mess? It's our city workers.
But not everyone on the council was as optimistic about the value of such a resolution. Alderman Justin Tennant said he felt the resolution was a statement that the city shouldn't be making.
I believe a majority of my constituents do not want me to spend my time on this council having my own version of a congressional hearing. I don't think that this is a disrespectful thing to Alderwoman Marsh whatsoever, but to pull in the ice storm several years ago and blend it together with global climate change, while possibly might be a reason for the ice storm, I think it's a big stretch to justify that as a Fayetteville reason for us to make this sort of statement.
In the end, the council ended up approving the resolution by a vote of 5-1, with Alderman Tennant abstaining and Alderman Martin Schottmeyer voting against the measure.
New signs being placed around Beaver Lake are aimed at heightening residents' awareness that the lake is the drinking water source for much of Northwest Arkansas. The signs are being put in place through a partnership between the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, the Army Corps of Engineers, and Beaver Watershed Alliance. John Pennington is the executive director of the alliance.
The recent survey that we conducted indicated that there's still 10-15% of the people out there that are not aware that Beaver Lake is their drinking water source. And anecdotal information through just tabling at outreach events indicates that many people do not know where the water that comes from their faucet actually comes from at the source, which is Beaver Lake.
Most of the signs are simple in nature, stressing that Beaver Lake is the drinking water source for Northwest Arkansas, featuring the logo of the Beaver Watershed Alliance, and asking lake users to help keep the lake clean. Pennington says the water quality of Beaver Lake is good right now, but the signs and other awareness programs are aimed at concerns about water quality in the future.
Our area is expected to grow tremendously throughout the next half century and more. And that's where the greatest concern comes in, is that if we don't start working now to address some of the issues that are taking place, the cost of our water treatment will go up. And the quality of life in our region could potentially go down, along with community economic growth and development. And in particular, the two pollutants of largest concern for the future are sediment and nutrients.
Pennington says phosphorus contamination is the biggest nutrient concern for maintaining water quality in the future.
Though burn bans are in place in at least 30 Arkansas counties, including Newton, Searcy, Marion, and Boone counties, the Buffalo National River has no campfire restrictions at this time. According to a release this morning by officials at the river, portions of the river have seen enough rainfall during the past few days to moderate the fire risk. However, if dry conditions persist for the next several weeks, burn restrictions may be put into place. But for now, park officials say campfires are allowed in all developed areas, the backcountry, and on gravel bars, though they do ask river visitors to use fire rings or other pre-existing campfire spots.
Northwest Arkansas Naturals now have a two-game winning streak. They've won the last two games in a four-game road series in Tulsa. Last night, the Nats defeated the Drillers 8-6. Matt Fields hit his Texas League best 25th home run in that game. The series concludes tonight in Tulsa.
Tonight, partly cloudy with lows from 68 in Northwest Arkansas to 73 in the Arkansas River Valley. Mostly sunny tomorrow with highs in the mid-90s. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy with lows from 69 in Northwest Arkansas to 73 in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large. Arkansas's 4th District Congressman Tom Cotton, a first-time Republican in Washington, has wasted little time inserting himself in national debates on foreign policy, judicial appointments, immigration reform, and farming and food stamps. He's also the rumored top prospect to challenge U.S. Senator Mark Pryor in 2014. Last week, Tom Cotton visited the set of the political talk show Capital View, which can be seen on KARK in Little Rock. The congressman spoke with Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas and the co-host of the program, David Goines.
A busy week in Washington. Obviously, you had a lot of votes on Wednesday night. I want to start there with the farm bill. A lot of people hear, you know, the idea of a farm bill is it's strictly dealing with farmers, but obviously some of the votes that came on Wednesday night kind of split differently. Obviously, you have the farm bill, but then you also had that issue with some of the issues with food aid and
So last month I voted against a food stamp bill. It was known as the farm bill, but 80% of all the funding was for the food stamp program, and this has really been a problem for 40 years in Washington, D.C. You have a farm bill that should be designed to focus on farmers, but 80% of the funding is on food stamps. So what we did this month just a couple days ago was to split out the food stamp program so we can have a farm bill that actually focuses on farmers. And I think this is a great, actually historic week for Arkansas farmers because we finally have a bill where we can focus on the policies that matter to Arkansas farmers. We'll debate the food stamp program later in the year, but right now we have a farm bill that's passed the House that is designed to aid farmers.
I've talked to a lot of folks in with agricultural interests that represent agricultural interests that were not happy with the split of the two bills. They feel that they needed to be coupled politically so that you would have urban legislators who obviously are deal more with the food stamp program supporting an agriculture or rural farm bill. How do you address that concern?
And I've heard that as well. I spoke with lots of leaders of farm organizations, but I've also spoke with lots of farmers all across Arkansas. And the farmers with whom I speak are tired of being held hostage to the food stamp program, which is deeply in need of reform because there are so many abuses. There's so much waste in that program. So by dividing the food stamp program from the farm bill, we're able to focus on actual farming policy now. And I think we just disproved this past week that you need that kind of coalition that's been in place for 40 years to pass a farm bill. So for the first time, we've been able to change the way Washington works. And I think that's what the people of Arkansas elected me to do in Washington.
Does that version of the farm bill get to the president's desk?
I believe there's a very strong chance it should. The Senate passed a farm bill that's primarily a food stamp bill last month. Again, almost 80% of the funding is food stamps, but the farm policies in the Senate version and the bill that we just passed are very similar. There's no reason, in my opinion, that the Senate shouldn't agree that we're all aligned on farm policy. Let's pass the farm policies, let's send it through the president for his signature, and then we can have the debate about the food stamp program later this year.
Well, let's talk about what is in that farm bill in terms of money, because you wrote in an op-ed in late June in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette that the bill cost too much for Arkansas taxpayers and provided too little for Arkansas farmers. You were talking about the first combined farm bill. This separated farm bill still has pretty much the same amount of money for Arkansas farmers. Yet you said it was too little for Arkansas farmers then. Why is it more for Arkansas farmers now?
So, Robbie, you're right that it still will result in, roughly speaking, the same amount of money going to Arkansas farmers who benefit from these programs. But you have to compare the cost of the overall bills. Because the food stamp bill was 80% food stamps, almost $750 billion of food stamps out of $940 billion total, that meant the percentage that Arkansas farmers were receiving was very, very small, less than 1%. But when you remove that food stamp program, the cost now is less than $200 billion. So when you weigh the costs and the benefits, as we have to do in all laws, you see that the benefits are much greater for Arkansas farmers in this bill.
Well, not to get too far down the number wormhole, but let's say you take that $750 billion for food stamps out of it. You say you'd like to see food stamp, you know, happen later on with some of the spending that's going to happen. Do you see that $750 billion shrinking?
I think we can shrink that over the next several years. And it's not so much about cutting food stamps, it's about reforming the rules for food stamp eligibility. Right now, we've all been in a situation where we stand in the grocery line at Walmart or at Brookshire's, and someone has steak in their basket, yet they have a brand new iPhone and they're going out to a brand new SUV, when families are struggling to put hamburger on the table for their own families, and the person with the steak is using a food stamp card. So we'll change the rules of eligibility to make sure that we get food stamp aid to the families that need it most, those who are most in need, the elderly who are in need, or people who are in transition, and that's not susceptible to that same kind of abuse and waste.
Is that not an exception to the rule, though? Because if you look at the number of the percentage of people in your district, the households in your district on food stamps, it's roughly about 16%, 42,000 households roughly. That median income for those households is only $13,600. Are you not turning your back on those people who need food stamps to survive?
No, Roby, a lot of people in that 16%, which is roughly in line with the national average, do need food stamps. You know, that's a dynamic number. Households come in and out as they move from job to job, and that's where we want to target the aid. But we all know there is some waste and some abuse in that program. You see this in so many government programs. The money is not going to the people who need it most. So we want to reform the program so the rules are going to be more targeted and get it exactly to those who need it most.
So you don't feel food stamp aid goes to those who need it, even though you said the majority of the people that are on food stamps are doing it the right way?
The food stamp aid does go to some of the households that need it most, but because the rules are so loose, because the Obama administration has loosened the rules to such a great degree, it does go to a lot of households that don't need it, who are abusing the program or goes towards waste. This is not as bad in Arkansas as it is in other states, like California, for instance, but Arkansas taxpayers are still footing the bill goal for that overall $750 billion program.
Let's shift gears a little bit. The word on the street is that you may be a U.S. Senate candidate in 2014. Tim Griffin said about a month and a half ago on our TV show that he believes that we'll have an outstanding U.S. Senate candidate. I believe that person will be Tom Cotton. I believe he will win. Do you share his confidence?
You must not live on 2nd Street in Dardanelle like I do. I appreciate Tim's kind words. He's a good friend. And I appreciate the encouragement and support I get from Republicans and Democrats alike all around the state. But right now I'm focused on the work that the people of Arkansas sent me to Washington to do.
There's not a time frame for considering this decision.
There's no time frame. We've got 3 weeks left until our August recess. That's a traditional break in the legislative session. We've got a lot of important bills coming up. We've had a lot of important bills with a lot of big work behind us, like this historic victory on the Farm Bill. So I'm really very focused right now on the work that the people elected me to do.
There's been a television ad that's been running against you, basically saying a variety of negative things, that you love the glitz. You're on Capitol View. We understand that that's glitz enough for some people there. What's been your response to this ad?
You know, Roby, I was an Army Ranger. I fought in Iraq and Afghanistan. I faced some real bullets, so a few metaphorical bullets in politics don't really bother me that much. And frankly, I don't think Barack Obama and his liberal buddies worry about where I say things, whether it's on your TV show, whether it's on the House floor, whether it's in a diner in Magnolia. They worry about what I say, making the case against Obamacare, making the case against this immigration bill. And the more they criticize me for it, the more I'm going to say it.
You realize that if you run for the U.S. Senate, you'll have a few more bullets coming your way. You ready for that, if that should happen hypothetically?
I have a pretty thick skin. I got that growing up on a farm in Dardanelle, and it was made thicker by my drill sergeants in the Army.
I'll give you one last chance. U.S. Senate, yes, no, maybe.
I'm eager to do the work in the House the people elected me to do.
I did not hear a yes, no, or a maybe answer.
That was Congressman Tom Cotton speaking to Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas. We also heard his co-host, David Goines. That was originally broadcast on the political talk show Capitol View. The show can be seen on KARK in the Little Rock Market. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at BankOzarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road. The Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at AECC.com.
While free health clinics have been opening in the region in recent years, the Mission Clinic of Berryville celebrates its 20th anniversary this year, and nurses there have faith that they will celebrate many more. Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas recently visited the Mission Clinic and has this report.
So when you come in, then you're met up here. You sign in so that we can keep track of who comes through the door. This is our little donation jar. Give if you wish. If you don't, fine. We're good. And then
Kathleen Sigler has been a volunteer registered nurse with Mission Clinic of Berryville for 18 of its 20 years. She's giving me the tour of the relatively new building, or at least new to them. It sits on Highway 62, just east of downtown. The clinic moved here in 2010 and recently completed a remodel thanks to a grant from the Mercy Foundation. The grant allowed the addition of a waiting room, complete with a children's area and patient restroom, plus an area for the nurses to work. This building provides 2 patient rooms, and the rooms are small. The volunteer optometrist has his eye chart on the back wall of a closet, having to open its door so patients can view the chart from the proper distance. A bit of a downsize from their old building that provided 5. But Sigler says it wasn't a downgrade.
No. Actually, it was an ancient building on the river that started out life probably as a roadhouse, shall we say politely, and was purchased and managed by the monastery, the Brothers and Sisters of Charity. They started this program in 1993, but we were down on the river. We had a stream actually running underneath the building and a trap door that went through an exit that was probably used during the Prohibition days. It was funny. So you could actually go to the river underneath the highway. But the building started to fall in. And we knew we needed more money to upgrade and to become modern and to give the poor of Carroll County and the uninsured the medical care that they deserve.
The Mission Clinic has been providing quality health care for those two decades. 87-year-old RN Virginia Benefiel was one of three that started the clinic in 1993.
And during that time, it's when we, Sister Viola and Dr. Murphy, Sean Murphy, and I, all three got together. We knew the need, and we just, the Lord took care of it. And we started down there in the by the old river bridge. And the Hermitage, which is the Little Brothers and Sisters of Charity, took care of our physical setting for us and paid the utilities. But the building was getting, he probably told her all about this, the building was getting so old and it was getting musty and just wasn't safe to be in any longer. And God provided someone to put a down payment on this. And
the clinic separated from the Little Portions Monastery when it moved, becoming a 501c3 registered charity. Though they still receive their support, funding now comes from a variety of sources. Changes to meet the ever-changing needs of the community.
Well, there were so many people at that time who were very poor, who had no insurance. And at that particular time is when we were getting some of the Hispanics were coming in to work at Tyson's. Of course, they had no insurance. So at that time, we took care of children. Any age, it didn't matter. Now that we have our kids, we don't see nearly as many children as we used to.
The clinic now serves around 500 patients each year, including immigrants from a variety of countries and people from all walks of life. Some may have insurance, but may not be able to afford their deductible. Unlike most free health clinics in the area, Mission doesn't require proof of income or lack thereof. They'll help anyone and everyone.
We don't even ask for their income. If they tell us they've been out of work for 5 months, 3 months, whatever, we, you know, that's between them and God. If they're lying to us, God knows. But we take their word for it. We don't ask for any documentation that they've been out of work that long or anything. We don't ask. You know, that's, I could say that's between them and the Lord. And if somebody is abusing the situation, and that's also, it's not our problem. We're here to serve.
The nurses here are fulfilling their mission, to help the poor and sick as Jesus asked them to. Though everyone here is spiritual, a variety of religions is represented. They don't proselytize. There is no hidden agenda. But if a patient requests spiritual guidance, they'll provide it. A sister from the Brothers and Sisters Monastery works the front desk. Healing the body, mind, and the soul is part of the clinic's mission. Again, Kathleen Sigler.
The whole structure of the person that's coming in. We can't be myopic at just looking at that person. We're looking at the clothes they're wearing, how they got here, can they get back? You know, are they transient? Do they have a support system? We also deal with this with the emotional needs or spiritual needs, if they need someone just to talk to.
Mental health is one of the biggest issues that Mission addresses. Until recently, they were one of the only places to prescribe psychiatric drugs. The clinic's prescription program is one of a kind and incredibly time-consuming. Doctors prescribe medicine when they visit with patients every other Tuesday evening. But it's the nurses that go through donated meds and then pass them out each Friday afternoon, providing counsel to the patients. Local doctors will donate samples and such. Plus, many pharmaceutical companies have charity programs. But the paperwork is quite egregious, and Sigler spends multiple hours each week handling this for the patients. But she considers it part of her job, and a job well done.
So it's very important that once a doctor writes a prescription, that they are able to get that medication. So that's something that we recognized early on as being a big mission. How do you, it's great to have a free clinic and see the patients, but if they've got an infection, they've got a chronic illness, diabetes, heart trouble, whatever, they need to be treated.
And people will always need to be treated. There have been many questions as to what will happen when the Affordable Care Act goes into effect next year. Will it lessen the need for free health clinics? The consensus has been no, that people will always be in need.
There's always going to be someone who falls through the cracks, and that's what we see a lot up here. You know, one other thing about the clinic, now that we're in town, we're more visible, and we're actually seeing more patients because it's so much easier to get to than when we were over by the River Bridge.
We're getting referrals from the hospital, which is only, what, a half mile away or a quarter mile away? So we're getting referrals from them. They may see someone in the emergency room, but they don't have money for the follow-up visit or the medication, so they end up here.
Sigler's dream is to close those cracks, that the clinic will serve as an educational facility, so there's cohesion between the doctor and the teaching, the clinic serving as a community learning center. As pretty much everything here has come in the way of donations, it will take the help of the community, but something that could very well happen. After all, 20 years ago, the Mission Clinic was somebody's dream.
It's just amazing because I can stand back and just see it's like a mosaic, God's mosaic, where we started with nothing. I mean, nothing. You know, it's just amazing to me to see God's hand at work. And that's absolutely what it's all about, is helping his children.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.
It is Wednesday, July 17th, 2013, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now is Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
You know, it's the only time a little round woman gets to say, my goodness, she looks a little chunky in that.
Oh, okay, you're going to have to explain this.
We're talking about the Miss Arkansas pageant.
Oh.
Which is honestly near and dear to my heart. I worked with Deanie Walker for years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can walk a stage in a swimsuit.
In heels.
You can walk into any interview, into any.
Any situation
and handle it. And the Miss Arkansas pageant is also a huge donor of scholarship money. Last year's winner got something like $88,000 in scholarships and awards.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
It's a lot of money. And, of course, Miss America is more.
Sure.
The Miss Arkansas pageant is going on right now in Hot Springs. Today is the first, of three preliminary nights.
Okay.
7:30 at Summit Arena, today, tomorrow, and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
This is when each group of girls goes through the talent and swimsuit and evening gown, although they all have different names now, but that's what they are, and the interview process. And then on Saturday night, the finale starts at 7:30, and you can watch all this on pay-per-view this year.
Is that new?
I think so.
Huh.
MissArkansas.org gets $5 for the preliminary nights and $7 for the finale.
Okay.
Or you can get tickets through Ticketmaster if you can be in Hot Springs. Lots of girls from pageants in our listening area.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of people to root for and lots of gorgeous young women.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin-Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
And that's when we realized we had overlooked one small but very important detail. We forgot to ask Sandra which bedroom window was hers.
I've been sheltered all my life by the humane practice of courtship and romantic etiquette. I was unprepared for how the rest of the animal world likes to go about love.
Flicks his wrist, sending the eggs up into the air into two perfectly laid out slow motion backflips. But something goes terribly wrong.
Tales from the South, Saturday afternoon at 3:30 on KUAF.
Coming up in a few minutes on Ozarks at Large, music from inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. That's just ahead on Ozarks at Large. But right now, we have a couple of quick sports notes. Game times and TV selections for the first three football games of the Brett Bielema era at Arkansas were announced Tuesday. The Razorbacks play their first game under Coach Bielema at 3 p.m. August 31st on FSN against Louisiana, and that's inside the Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium in Fayetteville. Arkansas hosts Samford in Little Rock at 6 p.m. September 7th on pay-per-view. And the Razorbacks return to Fayetteville to host Southern Miss the next week at 11:21 a.m. on the SEC Network.
Not a big fan of those 11:21 kickoffs.
Too early for you?
Yes. nine former U of A student-athletes are going to be inducted as members of the 2013 class of the UA Sports Hall of Honor. That takes place next month. The honorees include two of the most punishing running backs in school history, a pair of Olympians, and a former Razorback basketball star who hit a memorable last-minute shot to down number one North Carolina back in the 1980s, back when Michael Jordan played for North Carolina.
Oh.
Charles Ballantyne hit the fadeaway that defeated Carolina, a game in Pine Bluff on national television. The 2013 class includes University of Arkansas All-Century football team member Barry Foster, All-Southwest Conference running back Dickie Morton, four-year basketball letter winner Charles Ballantyne, who hit that shot, Calvin Davis, who is an Olympic track and field medalist, All-American baseball infielder Greg D. Alexander, Olympian and All-American swimming star Cheryl McCartan Ward, as well as All-America women's track and field standout and UA journalism graduate Adele Hackett, and Heritage-era football letterman Don Christian and Buddy Sutton.
Speaking of former Razorbacks, Brett Eibner, former Arkansas baseball player. He now is an outfielder for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals in Springdale. He was named the Texas League Player of the Week for the week of July 8th through the 14th. So congratulations to him.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Callums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Hundreds of junior high and high school students interested in music make their way to the University of Arkansas campus each summer for band camps. Attendees have the chance to sit in with individual instructors, play together, and listen to nationally recognized artists who come in just for the camps. This week, Mike Garson and Jim Walker performed a pair of concerts for the band campers. Mike and Jim brought packed resumes with them to the camp. Mike Garson, pianist and composer, has studied with and or played with Bill Evans, Herbie Hancock, Stan Getz, and began a lengthy musical relationship with David Bowie in 1971 when he accompanied Bowie on his first North American tour. Jim Walker, a flutist and composer, has been principal flutist with the Pittsburgh Symphony, the Los Angeles Philharmonic, and the New York Philharmonic. And you may have just heard him on NPR's Here and Now on Independence Day discussing the music behind the Stars and Stripes Forever. And together, they're also part of the jazz ensemble Free Flight. This week, Robert Ginsberg, host of KUAF's Shades of Jazz program, invited Mike and Jim into the Furman Garner Performance Studio to play some music. But first, Robert asked them about the responsibilities during their visit to the University of Arkansas band camps this week. Mike Garson says part of what they did was play for the young musicians at the camp.
Tonight we're playing for the high school kids, probably about 800 or 1,000 of them. The other night we played for the junior high. And it's amazing because I was very nervous because these kids are listening to their gangster rap all day long, and then they come in and no drums, no bass, and playing classical and jazz music just with a flute and piano. And it was like being at a rock concert. We had more applause than I used to get with David Bowie before we even touched the instruments. It was like crazy. So they're all musicians, even though they're young. They're musicians, and they got, on a certain level, what we're doing, especially the flute, because they're horn players, many of them, and they could appreciate, you know, the technique. They're working so hard to play a scale, and Jim is playing 7,000 of them at the same time, you know?
I really believe that how your two careers represent to me the diverse wealth of what is out there. It doesn't have to be just one bag. It doesn't have to be just jazz or classical. Or your involvement with the motion picture industry is astounding, Jim. I was looking through a list of over 750 motion pictures that you've performed part of the soundtrack on, and I could barely get out of the A's. There's Aliens 3 and 4, Austin Powers, Gladiator, Groundhog Day, Home Alone, Indiana Jones, Seabiscuit, that, and then you kind of walked away from that a few years ago, didn't you?
I did. I don't think of myself as a maverick, but I guess when you tally it all up, I've made a couple of interesting, not predictable moves. Leaving the LA Philharmonic was a fairly bold step, but it just was unquestionably the right thing for me to do in 1985. And then 3 years ago, I left the film scoring business. It was just, it felt like it was the right time. I'd had a very beautiful, fortunate run. I was at the right place at the right time. So, you know, it was with a lot of gratitude that I left, but I definitely am not looking back, and I'm very happy to be on this side of the picture.
Mike Garson and Jim Walker are two of the musicians who came to the University of Arkansas this summer to participate in the summer band camps. While they were inside our building, they also played the original song, What Is This Thing Called Jazz? It's Jim Walker flute and Mike Garson at the Mary Baker Rumsey Steinway. Thank you. There will be more from the conversation, as well as music recorded inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio on an upcoming edition of Shades of Jazz with Robert Ginsberg. Shades of Jazz airs each Friday and Saturday evening from 10 until midnight.
This is Ozarks at Large. It's not uncommon for families to have dogs, cats, birds, or even fish as pets. But if you're considering something slightly less traditional, how about a skunk? Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich brings us a story about a young couple who appears to have a remarkable affinity with skunks.
Hey, my name is Marilyn. I live here in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. And I have a dog. His name is Buster. I have a cat. His name is Panther Midnight. And I have three snails. And then I have a baby skunk, and her name is Penelope. And then I have a boyfriend, and his name is Vinny.
Marilyn Sloss moved to Eureka Springs 3 years ago to work in the local therapeutic massage industry. She now owns the clinic where she hired on, Healing Benefits Massage, on Kings Highway, just down the street from where they live. Marilyn also met and fell in love with Vinny Shipley. He moved to Eureka 5 years ago, restores historic tourist accommodations. We'll hear from him in a bit. He's tall, muscular, covered in tattoos. She's small with flowing brown hair and a cherubic face. They couldn't be any more different, but they have one thing in common, a deep appreciation for skunks. Marilyn brings out Penelope, a wild baby skunk, which they rescued a year ago. She was napping. She sets her down on the dining room table.
My friend had found Penelope back when she was probably about a week and a half old, down in Morrilton, Arkansas. And anyway, something had attacked her, and all of her paws were damaged, and the tip of her tail was damaged. So we found a very close vet who deals with skunks and who descents them. So we ended up taking her to him, and he, gave antibiotics and different things, and he actually ended up taking about a quarter of an inch to a half inch of tail off of her.
As she tells this story, Marilyn caresses Penelope's shiny black pelt. She's unable to groom herself properly. She's a paraplegic skunk. Her front paws are impaired. So Marilyn bathes her every few days. She has tiny black eyes and a little black snout. She's really cute, and she loves to snuff around. Penelope's a yearling, weighs 3 pounds. She skitters about using her rear legs to propel forward.
She loves to play. So we have little cat toys, and I love playing with her. But what her favorite toy is actually a rolled-up paper ball. She loves that.
Penelope chirps when she gets really excited. Otherwise, she's just really quiet. She's very friendly and seems to like being petted, and she nuzzles if you pick her up and put her on your shoulder. This is the couple's second skunk. Flower was their first, which they rescued from a family who could no longer care for her. Clearly, Flower was a great teacher.
Skunks are just truly amazing creatures. They're very, very loving. They're very sentimental.
They hold grudges.
Yes, and they do hold grudges, believe it or not. And with Flower, she was so funny. All you had to do was point at her, just point at her, and she would stomp.
Like when they took Flower to Petco for a harness, Vinny held her while Marilyn fitted her.
She was so mad at her daddy. She would not have anything to do with him for 2 solid months because he was holding her.
Apparently skunks never forget. Plus, she was a night owl. This is Vinny.
She would just drive me crazy, wanting up on the bed, wanting down, and they're just busybodies at night. But not
Penelope. Penelope likes to sleep with us.
The skunk's habitat is the bedroom in order to avoid the dog and the cat.
I told you Flower was a daddy's girl. Well, one day after work, I come in and both of them, both Flower and him, are laying on the bed and they're both stretched out like this. Uh-huh. Flower's on her back, he's on her back, and they have their arms like this. I have a picture of it, but yeah, it's just, it's crazy. I'm like, oh my God, two peas in a pod.
Skunks are nocturnal in the wild and sleep in nests and burrows often constructed by other critters. They prefer to rent, and most predators avoid them for obvious reasons. Skunks provide fair warning before they spray, jumping, stamping their front feet, arching their back, charging and growling. Some skunks will even do handstands as a warning, but when they spray, skunks are accurate, hitting targets as far away as 20 feet. Females give birth to as many as 10 pups a year. They follow mom around for several months before leaving the den. They can weigh up to 14 pounds and live in the wild up to 3 years. They forage on fruits, herbaceous plants, insects, worms, grubs, even small animals and small fish. Skunks are native too and range only in the Americas. Two species roam in Arkansas, the famous striped skunk, which are common, and the eastern spotted skunk, which is less common and protected. Flower was striped. Penelope, she's almost entirely black. Sadly, Flower's previous humans did not feed her correctly, and despite Marilyn and Vinny's best effort, she died from a kidney infection. But soon after that, they were delighted to take in Penelope. But she's disabled and frail. A local veterinarian looks after her, which is fortunate because many vets refuse to treat skunks. That's the sound of Penelope having a snack. Marilyn opened a container of waxworm in his hand, feeding her. She's fussy, subsisting mostly on these grubs and occasionally strawberry banana yogurt, which is allowed.
It has to be Highland, and it has to be strawberry banana.
Flower was housebroken, used a litter box, but Penelope, being disabled, uses puppy pads. And the couple take their skunk out in public and on errands.
It's called Community First. That's where we bank at. And when we had Flower, first thing, what does he do? He's got her up here, and he's like, brings up her tail, and he's like, this is a stick up. And everybody at the bank, they're like all crowding. They're like, oh my God, that's a skunk. Oh my God. So from the get-go, Flower was, you know, a star. And the same with Penelope, you know. They're like, well, we can't wait on you until you bring Penelope in.
But on certain days, Penelope goes to work with Marilyn.
I have a couple of personal clients of mine that absolutely I have to take Penelope in there with when I do a massage. She has to be in there.
Arkansas laws are quirky on skunks. According to the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, it's illegal to import or export skunks into Arkansas and to breed or keep them. You can trap and move them without a permit. You can rescue them from the wild if you're a licensed rehabilitator. And then they return those animals to their natural habitat. But state law does allow up to 6 hand-captured fur-bearing animals, including coyotes, foxes, rabbits, raccoons, squirrels, and skunks. But foxes, raccoons, groundhogs, bats, and skunks carry the rabies virus. Penelope, of course, is up to date on her rabies vaccinations and has tags to prove it. When they have time, Marilyn and Vinny volunteer at the local humane shelter. They hope to purchase a plot of land someday and build a home. And the couple are toying with the concept of being wildlife rehabilitators. They're naturals. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
If you're looking for technical information on skunks, you can visit the University of Arkansas Division of Agriculture Extension Services website at uaex.com. If you have a wildlife emergency, you can contact the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission at 800-346-4263.
Local businesses are teaming up with local musicians, local artists, and local chefs in downtown Bentonville tomorrow night. The Around the Block event creates an after-work atmosphere of music and is an attempt to nudge along the idea that art should play a part in everyday life. Nikki Dallison is the outdoor market manager for downtown Bentonville. She suggests a good way to start tomorrow night is to begin inside with a tour of the art included in the collection at 21C Hotel. But then move outside to look at some temporary art that's just outside the hotel.
Painters, mixed media, tons of different jewelry. And then you can hit up Crepes Palette to get a crepe. We have the Spice and Tea Shop doing chef demos outside. Basically anything that piques your interest, whether it's food, shopping, local art, music, just explore around the block.
Many of the participating restaurants and retailers select the artist or musician they want to have near them, playing music in a nearby alleyway or showcasing their art by a storefront. Nikki says downtown businesses seem to be taking a type of ownership of the night.
We really want the retailers to show their personality, show what they want to feature. Another really fun thing is we have a place called The Lot, and it's a food trailer kind of mecca. We have Greenhouse Grill and Kind Kitchen, as well as several other food trailers downtown. But at The Lot, Kind Kitchen has actually found some artists that they'll be featuring there, and they've brought in two musicians, Woody and Sunshine, who is a folk band.
Nathan Aronowitz, also known as Nathan A., will also be playing inside The Lot. Mustache, a clothing and gift store downtown, has also recruited music for passersby. One-man band, Warren Dietzel.
He will actually be in the alleyway by Mustache. That's part of our Around the Block program, is artists in the alleyway around the square. So it's really around the block. Block is spelled B-L-O-C. It's a block party.
And there will be bicycles. Listed under the other category is what organizers of tomorrow night's Around the Block are calling the Girls Bike Bentonville.
Oh my goodness. If you are a girl and you ride a road bike or a hybrid, you have got to hit this ride up. There's a couple different groups. We have a casual and an advanced group, varying speed, varying distances. It's an all girls ride. I mean, there may be, 15 to 50 women cyclists, and it just, the women power flowing through when you're in a big group on a road bike is amazing.
A one-man band, bikes, food stands, each, Nikki Dallison says, designed just to get people together.
Community in the sense of Bentonville, but community in the sense of community art, community food, community coming together, whether you're from, we have some artists from Oklahoma City, we have artists from Little Rock, and we have people coming from everywhere, and just building that sense of spirit, community coming together and not necessarily limiting it to cities or even regions.
The Around the Block event is tomorrow night from 6 until 9 in downtown Bentonville. You can learn more at downtownbentonville.org.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, Georgia Congressman and civil rights leader John Lewis on the future of the Voting Rights Act. He's got a message for his colleagues who think it's no longer necessary.
Come and walk in my shoes. Come and go with me to the Delta, Mississippi. Stand in city loan lines in Ohio.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
Here and Now, coming up next here on KUAF 91.3 FM.
Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle. Young Chefs in the Kitchen is a hands-on cooking class designed for children ages 7 to 17. Classes are free and run Monday, July 22nd through Thursday the 25th from 6 p.m. to 8:30 at the Fort Smith Seventh-day Adventist Gymnasium. Young chefs, accompanied by parent, will learn to prepare healthy, plant-based meals. More information at 629-5502.
The 15th annual KUAF Summer Jazz Series continues with the Composer's Showcase, the music of Rick Salonen, at Walton Arts Center's Star Theater on Saturday, July 27th. This performance will present the compositions and arrangements of Dr. Rick Salonen, performed by duos, trios, quartets, and quintets from local jazz artists, including the 18-piece Fayetteville Jazz Collective. Tickets and more information are available online at KUAF.com.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Fern.
Where's that?
Fern is in the shadow of Fern Mountain.
Of course.
Of course, in extreme western Franklin County. It's along Highway 215.
Awesome. Yeah. To check it out sometime.
I will go with you.
Excellent. Sounds good. Sounds like a plan. And one quick reminder, we will be doing the drawing for the tickets for the season tickets for the Alma Performing Arts Center on Friday. So if you want a chance to win those, you need to register at our website, KUAF.com.
And that season tickets, you get two tickets to everything that happens in that season.
You do.
Pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
Thanks for listening.